church has that one kid, the super gregarious tiny human who humors everyone with the witty and enlightening phrases that come forth from their mouth. And if you're the parents of that child, you know exactly who you are. And sure enough, in the last parish I served, there was a little girl, blonde bangs, age 7, who fit the bill perfectly. A few years ago, I found myself greeting parishioners on the front steps of the church when little Miriam shared with me her Lenten discipline. She marched right up to me, determined and confident. "I know what I'm giving up for Lent this year," she exclaimed. "I'm going to give up something really big." I waited for her to say chocolate or soda or something like what I would probably say. But before she could confirm my projected assumption, she confessed her Lenten fast. "This year, for Lent, I'm going to give up being a jerk." I chuckled a bit. "What do you mean? Have you been a jerk?" "Oh yeah, all the time," she said. "I was a jerk to my brothers just yesterday. And last week, I didn't share my snack with a girl at school, even though her mom and dad didn't pack her one." "Oh, I see," I responded. "Well, we all mess up sometimes. Maybe I should try to give up being a jerk for Lent too." "Yeah," she shouted. "Maybe we could get the whole church to give up being jerks for Lent." Kids always know how to dream big. Being an adult, I left it at that. And sure, I thought about it a few times during those 40 days, but all in all, Miriam's fast sort of slipped out of my consciousness. Until last week, that is, when I started to think about what I might share with all of you on this first Sunday in Lent. Miriam's Lenten discipline, I now realize, is exactly what God wants the church to do every Lent. And Easter, and Advent, and Epiphany, and Pentecost, and Ordinary Time, and always. Always, God wants us to stop being such jerks. Last week, when those burnt palms were spread on my forehead, it was almost as if the word jerk was written across my face. A mark, a blemish, a sign that showed that I had been given in to the temptations of this world, and that in choosing that path, my mortal body was no more than dust. Thank God our story does not end on Ash Wednesday. Lent is a time for us to come to terms with the fact that we are often selfish and rude, arrogant and self-serving. Lent helps us admit that we've all been jerks from time to time. But Lent is also a time for us to look to Christ, who was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. Lent is a time for us to draw inspiration from our risen Savior, who shows us that what the world has to offer is nothing compared to the glory of God. Today we join Jesus in the wilderness, where for 40 days he is tempted by the devil. Now, I won't go into theodicy or text interpretation or process theology, but for the sake of our learning, let's just say that the devil is the ultimate jerk. While in the desert, Jesus and Satan spar one another with scripture, each one spouting off sacred texts to prove their point. One does not live by bread alone. Deuteronomy 8. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Exodus 20. Angels will protect you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 91. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Deuteronomy 6. It becomes clear to us in this gospel reading that both Jesus and Satan know the Holy Scriptures. But only Jesus truly understands their meaning. Jesus knows that there is more beyond what Satan is offering. And Satan is offering three things: release from hunger, power over others, and safety and security. Now, these might not seem like bad things, but Jesus knows that these temptations are the very root of what keeps us from true and everlasting life. Not many of us today will be tempted by stones turned to bread, or by world domination, or by angels who keep us from skinning our knees. But I'd like for us all to consider this morning the ways in which we are tempted by the very same things that Jesus was tempted by. And although they go by different names in the lives we lead, I'd like for us to imagine how those things, which might seem appealing, could keep us from experiencing a deep relationship with God and with one another. First, this release from hunger. If you didn't have breakfast this morning, it's probably because you chose not to. Most of us here in this room do not hunger for food. And yet, the temptation of consumerism we know all too well. If I want to own something, I just open my Amazon Prime app on my iPhone, click a few buttons, and boom, there's a package outside my front door in 2 days. The temptation to say yes is so real and easy. But God asks us in this season of Lent to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and not for things that will just pass away. Second, this power over others. We might not be offered authority over all the kingdoms of the world, like Jesus was. But our privilege, whether it be wealth or whiteness or education, gives us power over others that, if not given away, will only cause the gap between us and others and the gap between us and God to widen. Power over others is a temptation that leaves us believing that we are in control. And finally, this safety and security. This one is my greatest struggle, amplified all the more in the past year by this new love I have for my son, who I have promised to provide for and protect by way of a warm home and a solid education, and enough food and clothing to care for multiple children. Safety and security is a temptation which tells us that if we follow the rules and have all that stuff and pride ourselves on perfectionism and self-reliance, that nothing bad can happen to us. Prosperity, provision, and a secular worldview are far greater a temptation than is hardship, because they lead us to the complacency of believing that God is no longer necessary. I can't tell you how many times I've been tempted to believe that I could just do it all on my own. This is a great lie that we tell ourselves. Safety and security are a grace given by God and not something that we accomplish of our own will. The story we hear today is not so much about the specific temptations that Jesus is faced with, but rather an urging for us to pay attention to Jesus' responses. When tempted by the devil, the ultimate jerk personified, Jesus does not choose the self-serving path, but instead chooses faithfulness to God, who will enable him to feed not only himself, but the multitudes. To be not a king by worldly standards, but yet the one who brings the reign of God. And to preserve not his body for a safe earthly pilgrimage, but rather to give himself up to die so that we might have everlasting life. Jesus in this story says no to Satan so that he can say yes to God. Jesus' denial of the temptations of Satan in the desert show us a new way to live. They give us a chance to see some of that wisdom that is often beyond our human understanding. They ask us to dream big about what this world might look like if we let Lent change us. If we let Lent take us through the wilderness, if we let Lent put us face to face with evil and admit that temptation is ever before us. In many forms and forums, temptation tells us that that smudge on our forehead is our identity, and that we're only a speck of dust, a bunch of jerks who don't know what God is like. But we come into this holy place today to be reminded that our story does not end on Ash Wednesday. It is just the beginning of our journey where we are reminded that conversion of the heart is a process and not a single event. And I pray that this season may give you a chance to stop and breathe and ask yourself, how can I be a little less of a jerk today? Amen.